Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. Hi, how are you? Welcome to another episode of Ramblings with Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. I am Doc Holliday, and I am pleased to announce that Isaac Bruce is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. He made it back. Isaac, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Doc. Back in action, man. Appreciate you holding down the fort last weekend. Had some business I had to take care of, but hey, here we are. The dynamic duel. You tag me in, I'll tag you back and let you finish them off, Doc.
Let's go, man. Now, well, Isaac, another marvelous Monday because our Rams took care of business this week. Now, we came home, got past the winless New York Giants 17-9 to improve to 3-1 this season. Now, it wasn't our prettiest game. We was hoping that this would be an easy ball game, but maybe our Rams thought this was going to be an easy ball game as well, man, because they came out, didn't play their best game, but we got the dub, bro, and that's all that matters, man. 17-9, man, we 3-1, they're 0-4, and we moving on.
Well, Doc, it's what I always call the beauty of football, man, because, you know, you see teams on paper, they may lose a quarterback or some other significant players on their team. And, you know, naturally, from a human standpoint, you kind of want to let your guard down. But that should never be the case in the NFL. I mean, these guys are the elite of the elite as far as athleticism is concerned. And to be playing on this level, you always have to respect your opponent. I don't care if they're the defending Super Bowl champions or a team that hasn't made the playoffs in the last 17 seasons. You got to respect who's in front of you and take care of business. So fortunately, we went out. We played the way we played, got the win, which is another significant win. It places us at 3-1. And you know what? We were able to, you know, get guys some more action, some more playing time. And, you know, it's kind of the first four seasons of the game. So this kind of is equivalent to what we would call our preseason. So after this game, the following week this year, man, it's time to get busy and start playing for something more significant.
Now, coming in, I was cracking on the Giants, man, and how sorry they are, man, specifically their offense. Their defense hasn't really been playing too badly this year, and defense played a really good game against us on Sunday. But, you know, the Giants' offense came in horrible. And it showed on Sunday, man. They came in ranked 31st in total offense, dead last in points per game. They leave L.A. in those same spots. Now, the Rams hold New York to 295 total yards, 9 points. They sacked Daniel Jones 5 times, man, picked him off once, which was a beautiful pick by Darius Williams with less than a minute to play at the Rams' 5-yard line with New York trying to drive and cut that 17-9 deficit, hopefully to possession, hoping they were for an onside kick, but we put all that to rest and put it to sleep when Darius Williams picked him off, man, and pretty much end the game. Now, regardless of how bad the Giants offense was and is, we needed our defense to play better, bro, and they did that, man. 5 sacks, held Daniel Jones, made Daniel Jones look like Daniel Jones, which is not a very good quarterback. So regardless of how bad the offense was, man, for New York, we needed our defense to play a much better game, and they did that, bro.
Oh, absolutely, man. Yeah, you, Doc, for the last 2 weeks, man, the defense has been at the very forefront of what we've been able to accomplish, man. And fortunately, we played at home this past weekend, so we didn't have to travel, didn't have to have, you know, our body clocks offset. So we can stand and enjoy our beds and get ready to play this football game. The defense has been great. Just the pressure that we've been placing on quarterbacks 2 weeks ago in Buffalo, this week. Versus the Giants, man. We're just putting constant pressure, if not sacking the quarterback. We're just putting pressures and making this guy get rid of the football before he's ready. So all of that has to do with the pressure up front. I think Aaron Donald being the anchor of that defense, along with Brockers, putting pressures up the middle and getting pressures on quarterbacks' feet, moving them off their spots. It gives our outside guys the opportunity to get more one-on-one and pressure that quarterback and make him force bad throws or even passes that he doesn't, he's not ready to throw yet. So, hey, hats off to the entire defensive personnel, offensive defense coordinator. They're making huge strides, man.
And the thing about that, man, is that, and we played without one of our best players, man, the young fella, man, Jordan Fuller, set out the game, man, and we really didn't miss him, man. We, you know, it's always good to have him, but really didn't miss him, man. Still able to hold that horrible Giants offense, man. And, you know, coming into the ball game, bro, they had only scored like two or three touchdowns, man, all season, which is dead last, the worst offense in the league. And they didn't score one against us either, man. They just got three field goals. But we have four different players with a sack, including Brockers, man. So it's good to see his name in that sack total. And Aaron Donald got a half a sack with my guy that we talked about last week that needs to step up, Samson Ekubon. He shared a sack with AD, man. So to see that defense play well despite losing a starter, and what was good is Darius Williams, man, the comeback, man. He got that horrible pass interference call on him against Buffalo the week before, man, which wasn't his fault, but it was called on him, man. But then the comeback, bro, that pick was, I mean, you know, Daniel Jones, he threw it kind of behind his receiver, man, and late, but still, Darius Williams, man, a great cut break on the ball and to dive it and stay in bounds, man. That was just a beautiful play, bro. And a huge play that we needed it when we needed it.
Big time plays and big time moments, man. You know, all defensive backs, man, on every level, Doc, they're taught to have short memories, man, because, you know, you can go from being the GOAT to the hero real quick and vice versa. So just to have these guys step up and make plays when the opportunity presents itself. I mean, I used to play for a coach who used to say, never leave your money on the table. Go ahead. If they're giving you interceptions, take them. So the pressure that we put on quarterbacks up front is all a result of plays being made like that. They're responsible for the big hits. They're responsible for the tip balls. They're responsible for quarterbacks getting rid of the football before they want to. And all guys just have to do on the back end is hold up and make plays, make those opportunity plays when they're given to them. So that's what's happening, Doc. So we see it again this coming weekend.
Indeed. Now, as bad as the Giants offense has been playing this season, like I said, their defense, man, has played pretty well, man. But they played a damn good game against us on Sunday, man. We came in averaging 449 total offense, total yards a game, which was third in the league, man. The Giants held us to 240. We came in averaging 29 points a game. We only scored 17. And the Giants defense was giving up 357 a game, 26 points a game. So not our best offensive game plan. Well, I ain't going to say game plan. Not our best offensive showing. But this Giants defense, man, isn't as bad as their offense is. They got the good guy Blake Martinez, man, the linebacker who balls out. They got a couple of guys on the defense that can play well, man. But you know, they came in and our offense was kind of sloppy, man. Didn't get it together. We didn't really run the ball like we've been running the ball. And that's something that surprises me as well, man. We only have 58 yards rushing. We only ran the ball 23 times. But damn all that, man. We still got the W, man. And these are the kind of games that we have to win, man. Games that grind it out against teams that horrible. You know, you come out a little lackadaisical, which I think we did, man, but we still got the win. So these are the kind of games that we need to win.
Yeah, some games are going to be shootouts and some games are going to be exactly what we saw yesterday. That kind of grind it out. Make sure everybody's fundamentally sound. Make sure you can execute in 4-minute offense or 4-minute defense. But just make sure that you make your plays when they're presented to you. So hopefully we get back where we were the first 3 weeks of the season as far as running the football effectively. Throwing it around the yard and just getting back to our identity. I mean, I'm sure that's what Coach McVay constantly is about, the identity of the football team, and really not really stressing or preaching the behavior of what's being and the execution of what's being played, because, you know, that identity will always affect that behavior. So once again, once we go back into the lab this week, get guys healed up, get them treated up. Make sure that we are, you know, we're free of all the COVID that's been going around here, and be able to present a better product, a better execution of the product that we put on the field on Sundays.
Now, I am surprised we didn't run the ball more, though, man. I really thought we was coming out running the rock, especially Darrell Henderson coming up. Two great games, man. His first 100-yard game last week at Buffalo, man, and scored another touchdown. So I was expecting him to get a lot more carries, man, but just 8 carries for him, 22 yards. Malcolm Brown, good to see him, you know, out there doing some things, man, despite having that broken finger. He got 9 carries, 37 yards. Now, we didn't have Cam Akers. He set out a game with them hurt ribs. But I was kind of, you know, kind of surprised, man, that we got off that game plan from running the ball like we do, because we know, man, we're a good, when we're a good running team, man, that play action runs better, which run better, man. So I really am surprised that Sean McVay and that Rams offense didn't run the ball as much as they normally do, as they probably, you know, as they've shown, which is the winning formula, man. I think that has had a lot to do with our struggles as well, man, because 23 carries, and it's not enough, bro, because, you know, as we say, man, normally when we run the rock at least 30 times a game, that's a dub for us, man. So, I mean, I don't really know, you know, I guess when I'm talking, I'm just complaining because I'm a running back, because we did get the W, but we got to get back to that formula, man. We really have to pay attention to the play calls and what's called and what's run, and making sure we still getting those running plays and those, that running game going, in order for us to be successful moving forward, man.
Yeah, and in the flow of a game, man, you know, you often find, you know, some mismatches that you may have to take advantage of. I mean, if that's not in the running game that week, you know, you have to do what you can to win it. But, I mean, you know, some of the pluses in this, you know, we didn't turn the ball well. We were even on the from the turnover standpoint, and we did force them to turn the football over. But, you know, as a team collectively, I think we can execute better. I think the game plan itself is good. I think the approach that we're having every week, you know what, it's sometimes it may be a tough task for these guys who are not playing behind the energy of fans. There's no fans in the stands, so we got to remember that, but they are professionals. And at the same time, you may have somewhat of that human nature let down when you find a team come in that hasn't won a game. You kind of see that some of their marquee players on offense are not playing, so you could have that letdown. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have a letdown to the point where it cost us a game, especially one another NFC game that are so, so valuable in this stage of the season.
And you talked about the turnovers, man. We did a good job of taking care of the ball. I didn't think just one fumble, but more importantly is that Jared Goff, man, didn't turn the ball over, man. He didn't have his best passing game, just throwing for 200 yards, which is 87 yards below his average. 25 or 32, man, had a touchy, but no picks. No picks. And we know, man, once Jared Goff and that offense, well, specifically Jared Goff, if Jared Goff takes care of the football, man, we have a great chance of winning the ball game, which he took care of the football, didn't make any horrible decisions with the football, any horrible throws that resulted in an interception or a turnover. So just to have him playing the way he played, man, even though he didn't put up big numbers, he did enough for us to get the W, man. Now, he did get sacked two times, which not surprising. As I say, that Giants defense isn't horrible, man. You know, it's a pretty good defense, but you know, Jared Goff still, he gave us enough to get us a W, man. And I keep saying that's all that counts.
Yeah. So hey, once again, Doc, we go back into the lab. We go into our meeting rooms, offensively, defensively, special teams, and correct the things that we can correct, and hopefully control the things that we can control. But this is a game where you have to take this win, put it in the win column, and start moving on towards Washington, because, you know, these weeks are starting to get very short. And before you know it, you're back on the field again. Make sure guys who are injured go and get treated so we can be at full power for the next coming week. And just make sure, man, that, as we go back on the field, man, we start to execute the way we know we can, especially that what we've proven in the first 4 weeks.
Now, we came out in that first quarter and executed pretty good, man. It looked like we was about to run away with it. You know, we scored that first touchdown, man. Goff hit Gerald Everett. Everett scoring a touchy, you know, 6:19 left in the first quarter, man. But we were only able to put up three more points before halftime. We were just up 10-6. So New York was making us scrap. They was making us grit. They were making us grind. They was making us tough it out, man, because we couldn't pull away from them. And they damn sure couldn't pull away from us, because they just don't have the horses on offense to pull away from us. But it was pretty much a ball. You know, heck, it was 10-9, bro. But just under 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, when we were finally able to get some breathing room, man, when Goff, man, just hit Cooper Kupp on a nice slow. The ball was kind of high, but he gave it to him. Kupp was able to outstretch those arms, man, pluck it out of there and go for 55 yards. Now, that was huge, man, because when we needed somebody to make a play, those are the players you expect to make a play, man. The Cooper Kupp sitting there making that play with that 55-yard touchdown, which, You know, he had a, you know, he had a pretty decent game, man. He caught. Look at his Cooper Kupp stats, man. He had a nice little game. Five catches for 69 yards, but you know, one catch, you know, coming 55 yards. So 55 of that 69 coming on that touchdown. But he made it when we needed to make it. And that's how cats get paid. That's why cats get paid, because they make big plays when they need to make big plays.
It's definitely one of those games where you'd have to sit in the meetings to really extract a lot of the, you know, the Rams highlights, man. But, you know, once again, you're talking about the beauty of football. I mean, you find a team that's wounded. They're traveling cross state, cross country to play a late game. And, you know, they're kind of desperate. So sometimes when desperate teams come to town, you know, they give you their best. And that's pretty much what we got from the Giants, man, especially from a defensive standpoint, man. These guys have a lot of pride. They make sure that, you know, they're not embarrassing themselves on film, because they have to go back and sit down and watch this film as well. Losing is definitely not fun in the NFL. There's nothing fun about losing in the NFL. And, you know, every win, man, it's hard to win in the NFL. It's hard to really secure these games, these victories, man. But, you know, the Rams pulled it off. We're excited about that, and let's push it forward.
And I know players, man, are going to sit and say, man, we don't take anybody for granted, man. You know, everybody, like you say, everybody on scholarship, everybody in the league, everybody in the NFL, man. That's what they're going to say publicly. But behind closed doors, man, you have a tendency to look at the record, man, but like, man, they some trash. Then you look at the scouting report, they some trash. Then you look at video in the meeting room, man, they some trash. You sitting there looking at your one-on-one matchup like, oh, I got him. Oh, I got him too, man. They some trash. So I think we kind of came out with that attitude that we back home, you know, we 2-1 that hadn't won a game. They some trash. We came out and scored that first quarter touchdown and kind of struggled after that, man. So, I mean, I know what they say publicly, man. They ain't take the game lightly, take the Giants lightly. But come on, bro. Cats human, man. Cats be like, man, they some trash. We finna go out there and blast them. A lot of times when you prepare like that mentally, your body doesn't respond. Your body doesn't respond physically. And I think we kind of seen some of that on Sunday, man, just to be honest.
Well, I tell you what, that's what separates the great players from just the good players, because – you know, you sort of start to get yourself in a routine as far as film watching, as far as your preparation, making sure that you're staying in the weight room, making sure that you know your assignment. And when it's time to go out and play on Sunday, you know, it really doesn't matter who's put in front of you, because you're self-motivating. You have that ability to get yourself ready to play, you know, in any arena. I remember a long time ago just having conversation with some of the guys on teams, and, you know, they would complain about the music that's being played in pregame in our own stadium at times. And I always looked at it this way. When we go and play in Atlanta, when we go to Seattle, we don't have a say on the music choice. So you have to get ready to play with any kind of music that you hear. It's about being a professional. It's about being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, knowing your assignment and executing that assignment to the highest level for as long as you're on the football field. You may only get three quarters that game. You know, maybe it's a blowout. You're winning. So you got to make sure that while you're out there, you got to play to the best of your ability. I always said to myself, man, you know, as far as blocking is concerned, I block anybody. I don't care if it's my mother standing in front of me. If she comes and she's trying to make a tackle, she'll get cut as well.
Hey, y'all, don't believe that. The way that man loved his mom, man, it sounds good. Hey, it sounds good. Hey, y'all, check it out. Don't be looking at me, man. It sounds good. That man, he loved Mrs. Bruce, man. Come on, bro. I come hit you, though. You block Miss Bruce, man. Miss Bruce got to get the tackle.
It's called tough love. Tough love is love, too. Tough love is love, too. I got a block. Got a job to do, man.
And speaking of blocking, man, I'm going to just real quickly. I saw that that tweet you tweeted out to Oz Akeem, man, the other day, man. Hey, Oz, I forgot who y'all were playing. He stressed out on the touchdown. You, man, bro, that was a nice block, man. Unfortunately, in today's time, that would have been a penalty. But right then, bro, that was a cracker, dog. I mean, that was a crack block, man. I mean, what game was that? I forgot, bro. Do you remember?
That was the Giants, man. You know what? It was funny, Doc. Here's the thing, man. You know, there were times when, you know, as a receiver, you feel like you're not getting the ball enough. And, you know, you could you can be, you know, what people call selfish, go to your sideline, you start cussing and blessing people out, and from the quarterback to the offense coordinator to the head coach, if he gets near, or anybody who wants to hear it. You know, I was in the same position. I'd always be in that same position at times. And, you know, for me, I thought it was always better for me to just take it out on guys who did not have the same color uniform as me. And that was always the cornerbacks, the safeties. And we already had this, you know, already dislike for each other. They didn't like me. I didn't like them. And, you know, we probably get to chattering a little bit. And I'm cutting guys. And defensive backs don't like to get cut. And anytime I got a chance to hit these guys when they weren't looking, I took it. I mean, these were the same guys when I came across the middle of the field looking as pretty as I could. They were trying to take my head off, and it was legal at that time. So that was the, you know, like I say, the dispensation in which we played, man, where head to head, helmet to helmet was legal. It was showed on Jumbotrons to get the fans hyped, to get the players hyped. And it opened up and for your Monday night footballs, those big hits, those big grand hits. And, you know, that was my payback. I took my payback back on defensive backs and safeties by cutting them and blocking them when they didn't want to be blocked.
Now, speaking of that specific play, man, now once, you know, Oz scores, man, and you get to him, whether it's in the end zone or in the on the sideline. Now, do you let him celebrate the touchdown, or you immediately tell him, bro, I just took somebody's head off of you, man?
Oh, I tell you what, man, you're talking about Oz Akin, man, one of the most explosive football players I've ever played with, man. And just that play itself, man, you see how elusive he is and how well he can dance on the football field. And he didn't need much room, trust me, from a punt return specialist to a guy who could play the X position and catch those short passes and take them the distance. Now, it was probably in the meeting room come Monday where I would say, Oz, man, you owe me one, man. You got to make sure you take care of me. And like I said in the tweet, yeah, he took care of me in the Super Bowl, man. But he still owes me about 3 or 4, trust me.
Yeah, man, I just love to see that, man. That's the thing that young receivers have to see, man. You got to block, man, because you get big explosive plays. The only way you can get big explosive plays, especially running plays, is the receivers got to block downfield. That's why wide receiver coaches and offensive coaches and head coaches stress so much that receivers have to block down the field, because if you don't, man, when a guy like Marshall Faulk or Daryl Henderson or Cam Akers or Malcolm Brown, when they get past that first level and that second level, bro, they can't go 50 or 60 yards if the receiver's down there, you know, playing patty cake, man, or screen. You really got to put your face on them. So that's always been a big part of great wide receivers, Hall of Fame wide receivers, man, is that they block, bro.
Yeah, absolutely, Doc. And, you know, it doesn't take much. It takes sometimes holding a guy or stab and pull like I used to do. Taught that by the great Roland Williams out of Syracuse University. But yeah, it's fun. It's fun kind of like getting in these guys' face and kind of being that gnat around guys, just bumping them at the last minute. And these great running backs, man, they don't need much. They don't need much room, just a small space, and they can take it the distance, or just blocking for your fellow receivers, man. I mean, we made sure that we took care of each other. We block for each other and make sure that, you know, we didn't stop playing until the echo of the whistle.
And that block, man, it's, you know, it came at a time that, like, you really, I mean, you helping Oz out and helping the team out, but you still pissed off about getting that ball. So the Giants dude had to pay for it, bro. You know, he had to pay for it. Like, if I can't get the rock, I ain't going to yell at my team. I'm finna smack the heck out of you, man. And, you know, being a veteran, a wide receiver, man, a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Now, I just briefly, bro, what advice would you give to Van Jefferson right now? Because he hadn't really been involved the last couple of games, man. So he may be feeling down. I don't know. I'm not in his head, but I know he may be feeling down. He may be doubting himself because he hadn't gotten a lot of targets, you know, hadn't put up any great numbers yet. So what would you tell Van right now, man, to keep him encouraged so he won't get discouraged?
Well, this is the perfect opportunity to make sure that you are – your eyes are on the goals that you set at the beginning of the season. And, you know, we never really just look at that, those ingredients that go into the gumbo. We always just look at the end of the end result of the gumbo. So this is the middle part of it right now. There'll be some times where the roller coaster is down on a low level, but you're always starting to head up. So this is that time right now. So he has to make sure that he focuses in on the goals that he set, his identity as a football player, and do things to get on film, man. I mean, blocking will get you on film. You know, adding to maybe picking up some jet sweeps or running some reverses, that gets you in the mix. That kind of gets you in the game. And just talk strategy with coaches, man. Talk with Coach McVay, with Jared Goff, the backup quarterback. Start listening and finding out how these guys are thinking, their approach to the game, their approach to the game plan, man. That places you to and puts you in another level of being a football player, not just a wide receiver, but being an offensive threat from a mental standpoint as well.
And great points, man. And of course, great advice coming from you. And him being a young fella, man, in college, you know, he's one of the first options. But, you know, in this Rams offense, bro, especially in the passing game, you're probably the fourth or fifth option when you're out on the field. So he has to get used to that, man. And also, you know, getting Jared Goff's confidence, man, because you can do some things in practice, running routes and getting open to, you know, quarterback be like, man, I got love for him. I can count on him. Or you can also do some things in practice, be like, man, I'm not looking this way. And I'm not just saying that's what Van is doing, but I'm just saying that's what quarterbacks can do, quarterbacks and receivers, man. That confidence and that trust is built up in practice. You can get it or you can lose it, but you have to stay mentally into the ball game. And I hope this is something that he can listen to you saying, coming from a Pro Football Hall of Famer, because we know he has the skills. We know he has the talent. But now he has to understand this is the league, man. And, you know, cats gonna lock it down, cats gonna cover it. You got to do other things and stay motivated.
Hey, be content, Doc, but never be satisfied. That's my advice. I mean, be content with who you are as a player right now, but never be satisfied. And, you know, when you get more seasoned into your career, always just be content, but never satisfied.
Indeed, man. Great advice. Now, speaking about Rams, as we said, man, they improved to 3-1, man. And now, man, finally sitting in second place all by themselves in the NFC West. In the NFC West this week, man, it's a push, man. Two teams won, two teams lost. Seattle Seahawks continue to roll. They're 4-0 now. They beat the Dolphins 31-23. As we say, we beat the Giants 17-9. The Cardinals lost to the Panthers. They're now 2-2. They lost 31-21. And San Francisco lost to the Eagles, man, 25-20. We're going to see them in a couple of weeks, too. We're going to see y'all in you know, going on the road to them, but we're going to see them. But anyway, man, 2-2, Cardinals and 49ers with 3-1, 4-0. The NFC West, man, we can keep doing what we're doing. And next week, we got the Redskins, icing it. This is the first five games, bro. We done played the whole NFC East now, man. So that should be a win because Washington is 1-3, man. And that can help us in those standings because this NFC West, man, it may go down, you know, to the last couple of weeks.
I'll tell you what, it gives us another opportunity, Doc, to be professionals. I mean, we're talking about a team that's currently 1-3, but it has a different coaching regime. And Coach Ron Rivera, old school coach, believes in hitting players in the mouth, getting guys motivated. He's lit the fire under his young quarterback, Haskins, right now. So whatever we can do, we got to make sure that, you know, we're coming out to play a team that we may think has the ability to 3-1, be 3-1. I don't think there are many points or many plays away from being 3-1. They're 1-3 currently right now. But we got to make sure that, you know what, we come out and take the fight to them. As far as the NFC West is concerned, I mean, this is what we thought it would be. We're in a dogfight. Once again, you know, Russell Wilson is being Russell Wilson. I mean, he was down here in South Florida this past weekend, man, just had a phenomenal football game. So it's shaping up to be one of those divisions that, once again, may be represented in the Super Bowl this year. So we'd love for it to be the Rams, but it's going to go down to the wire, I feel, Doc. And a lot of punches going to be thrown and a lot of punches will be taken in this division.
I'm trying to see what's up with the NFL, though, man. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to rebirth this East Coast, West Coast feud, man, you know, like they did in the 90s, man, because, bro, we didn't play Dallas. We didn't play Buffalo. We didn't play Philly. We're going to play the Redskins. What's the other NFC East team? I just said it, man. We didn't play The Giants, the ones we just beat. Got, but bro, they didn't, we didn't pretty much, we didn't play everybody on the East Coast with the exception of Dallas in that first game, but they're in the NFC. I don't know why they've done us like this the first part of the season. And aside from a couple of home games, man, they keep taking us all the way across the country, man. So for us to be sitting where we're sitting, and we can get that W next week against the Redskins to go to 4-1 despite having to go across country three times, it's pretty impressive, man.
Well, honestly, you know, I'd like to get the crown of NFC East champions, man. You know, every division champion gets a playoff home game guaranteed. Yeah, I mean, but can you at least give us the crown? We've knocked off three teams already. So, I mean, great job by Sean McVay and his crew having the players ready. We travel well. I think the preparation part of, you know, making those trips across the country is really showing up. I mean, because, you know, apparently he has the team practicing earlier in the day and, you know, taking the rest of the day to watch film just to be on that East Coast time. So when we have to go play those games, you know, that body clock is a little bit better than what it normally would be. So these games, they're important, Doc.
Real quickly before we get out of here, man, I know you talked a lot of trash. You know, you ain't talk a lot of trash, but the NBA Finals, bro. Rams fans, Lakers, man. Lakers up 2-1. Heat, what's up?
Hey, I'm going to quote Jimmy Butler, man. You in trouble. You are in trouble.
Because Heat won one game?
Hey, you're in trouble, man. That's all it takes is one. I mean, if you ain't sweeping, I mean, hey, it takes one game, triple-double by a 40-point. Game triple-double by Mr. Jimmy Butler last night, man, on all cylinders, man. We were shorthanded playing last night, so hopefully we can get some of our troops back. Bam, I think Dragic may be out for the entire season, but, you know, get Bam back in. He's another all-star, and hopefully he can do some of that dirty work. But maybe we can just quell, you know, Anthony Davis and the crew again, man. Some of those guys forget that they're superstars and take nights off. Hopefully, you know, they do the same thing, and we just come out running and gunning like we did last night.
Yeah, I got you, man. Hope is something else, man. I feel you, bro. But anyway, man, anything you want to add before we get up out of here, man?
Nah, man, we're good. I mean, like we've been saying the whole show, Doc. I mean, this is the NFL. You got Rams that are on scholarship. You have the Washington team that's on scholarship. We make sure that we clean up everything as far as film watching and everything that transpired yesterday in that game versus the Giants, man, and come out as professionals and take the fight to Washington, man. Don't wait. But played four quarters of Ram football.
The Washington football team, we'll see y'all, man, in a couple of days. And you all hear from us in a couple of days. That's going to do it for this edition, another edition of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday. Until next week, we out.